This is Rating Descending,
where we watch IMDb's worst 250 movies so you do not have to.
I'm Michelle St. Clair.
I'm Abigail Ward.
And this week we watched Escape Plan 2, Hades. Years after he fought his way out of an inescapable prison, Ray Breslin has organized a new top-notch security force, but when one of his team members goes missing, Breslin must return to the hell he once escaped from. Let's watch. Oh my god, these taglines are killing me.
Hi.
But you know what's giving me life?
Hi.
We got, hey, Abby.
Hey.
We got an email.
Ooh.
From our old friend, Emma. This was specifically in reference to our Cat in the Hat episode. So listeners, if you're a little lost in the lore, go back and listen.
We got a lot of responses to Cat in the Hat, by the way.
We
had a lot of people reaching out saying, but I loved that movie. And I was like, same.
Yeah, I know. It's we haven't had this much of a response since our fucking Artemis Fowl episode.
Yeah.
And as much as we joke about Abby's bad takes, in both cases, people are not on my side at all.
Wait, I had a good take?
Well, you enjoyed Cat in the Hat, a movie that most of the people who have messaged you saying that they love it too have not watched since they were a child.
That's not true.
It is true, isn't it?
I don't know.
That movie does not hold up the test of time. Yes!
What did they say?
What
Prove
MR,
me right.
What MR said is, well, you called it. Here's, and in quotes, because one of us said this, the fucking email. Seriously, Abigail? 10? A 10?
What?
Well, to be honest, I'm not angry about Abigail's rating, as it's a perfectly fine on the 0 to 10 scale. Way too high rating, but valid nonetheless. I'm actually more grumpy about Michelle's previous rating for Area 51. Minus 0.2. That's the visually unpleasing one to plot. The Cat in the Hat is a pretty boring anomaly. The rating is so anomalous that it's not even worth doing any math comparing it to the others, and one can see how far it is from anything else with the naked eye. Because it is, excluding bonus episodes, you're only 10, I'm pretty sure.
No, yeah, it is. Oh my god, it is. Oh my god.
And to be fair, looking at Emma's graphs on their incredible website, engineer-of-souls.github.io, you really can't. It is so unpleasing that it is the bottom isn't zero, that there's 0.2, and that's my score for Area 51.
You,
so I did kind of fuck it.
Thanks, Emma.
And there was two more things. One was apparently the API that they used to get the IMDb data got rid of their free accounts. So the cast data is going to be a lot more difficult. So the Actor Network and All-Star list are on pause. I mention this in case any listeners are more technologically minded than we are and know of another way to get around that or to gather that data. Because part of what is so incredible about it is that it's fundamentally automated rather than being manually entered for every single new person in a movie. So hey, if anyone knows how anything about web development or APIs work, just give us an email. We'll hook you up with MR.
Please.
And then the very last thing.
That one was for you, MR.
Is for that was in your honor, MR.
Yeah.
This was my favorite part of the whole thing. While trying to come up with a workaround to the data scraping issue, I made an activity page for kids. Honestly, I have no idea why I made this. And I clicked on it, and there's three games, the third one being a word search that I actually did. It's kind of fun. It's pretty good.
A word search including what?
Titles of movies on the list. It's got Boogeyman, Cell, Driven, Exposed,
We Have
Food
a
Fight.
Word search?
We have a word search. And like I said, it's pretty good. It's pretty fun. There's also the game Shuffled Subtitles. Oh no, the movie titles and their subtitles have been mixed up. Help Abigail fix them before Michelle notices. Love the Lord in it. But this is the one I want to focus, because I want to actually play this with you right now. Michelle is trying to, this is Film Fusion. Michelle is trying to come up with better movies by combining the titles of two bad ones from the list. Can you guess the new fused film titles based on the pictures? So here's an example using movies not on the list. A disagreeing murder trial jury has to police the secret alien presence on Earth. That's 12 Angry Men in Black.
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So it's like that,
that's
right?
That's so fun.
It's really cool.
Hang on. But the idea of this game, it's fantastic, but it's predicated on the idea that I will remember the films we've watched on this list.
I know.
That's the scary bit.
Okay. Now, I just wanted to check how the show answers work, so I saw the answer for the first one, okay. So I'm not going to guess for it, but I don't know the answer to the other four.
What's the first one?
The first one. A video game character comes to life and receives a voicemail predicting his death.
A voicemail.
I'll give you a hint, because even though I saw the answer, I would have known this. The voicemail is, it's definitely one missed call.
Because I wasn't there for that episode, yeah. So I don't really remember.
That's why
it.
I was like, you won't know that.
Is the first, what was the first bit again?
A video game character comes to life.
Is it Super Mario?
No. Do you want to know what it is?
We've had a, it's, oh, yeah, tell me.
Ra one missed call.
That's so good.
So
okay,
good.
I get it. Give me the second. Let's do the second one.
It's really hard for me to do it because you see all the answers at once. Oh, so okay. I'll quiz you on it.
Okay.
The same person plays both the male and female leads in this story about trying to find buried diamonds in a desert amongst criminals.
Buried diamonds in a desert amongst criminals.
Yeah.
Was it that really fucked? oh my god.
Like bleached aesthetic,
yeah.
Bitch slap,
yeah, yes.
You've got bitch half slap. Of it. You've got half of it.
And the first, okay. So then the first bit is a man and a woman playing the.
Well, someone playing both the male and female leads. It's Eddie Murphy.
It is. Remember, more bitch slap.
Yes.
Yes. This is really fun, and I'm really bad at it.
No, it's hard. I want to do this again in a future episode, but this is so good.
This is so good.
Accidentally changing the past causes the present to be full of flying rescue vehicles. Fuck, that's so good. That's so funny.
Wait, accidentally changing the past
causes the present to be full of flying rescue vehicles.
Flying rescue vehicles. Flying rescue vehicles.
Flying rescue vehicles. Think puppets.
Puppets?
Yeah. Or think of the accidentally changing the past thing, you know, accidentally changing the past, rippling to the present, you know, those changes. Ooh.
I'm not going to get it.
I'll give you a hint then. That one's a sound of thunder.
Yes.
You know, referring to the butterfly effect.
Yes.
Yeah. And remember, they got to mash together.
Oh, my God. A sound of thunderbirds.
Yes.
All right. I'm so bad at this.
No, no, no. This is hard, and I wish we could do it together. Wait. We'll do the last one together. I didn't look at the answers for that. But okay. this one's an easier one. A superhero parody as a series of short films full of Hollywood stars.
Superhero movie 43.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know this one. A mortally injured security man is rebuilt as a cyborg who has to work as a driver to save his kidnapped wife.
So Paul Blart? Mall Cop?
Mortally injured...
Mall Robocop?
Oh!
Wait, give me the second half again.
A mortally injured security man is rebuilt as a cyborg who has to work as a driver to save his kidnapped wife. Is that like Getaway or something? Or... It's definitely Robocop, right?
Yeah, Robocop's the first bit.
Robocop. What do we watch that has cop in it? Copter?
Wait, what's the second bit again?
Oh, fuck. What That's why we didn't get it. That's do you want to know the answer?
Yeah.
It's not Robocop. It's Inspector Gadgetaway.
I love it. Far it's reach, so but I fucking good. Love it. It's amazing.
It's really funny. I thought it was Getaway.
You're right.
Oh, incredible game. We might play Film Fusion again soon,
that
I think.
That was... fucking amazing. I have to do the word search as well.
Yes, please do it.
Actually, this whole episode of fuck the movie, let's just do the word search together.
Okay. Emma, you continue to astound and humble me.
Truly, you are the best fan anyone could ask for.
This is incredible work.
Oh.
But speaking of certainly notable work, this week we watched Escape Plan 2, Hades.
And Sly's back, baby.
Sly's back. Return of the King, yes. Is what they should be called.
Sly and the Family Stone.
Nice. Sly away. Sly away.
And there's the air getting sucked out of the momentum.
God, we really had such a good flow in this episode, and I just really just
no. Usually it's me, so
yeah, that's true. And it is my episode, but yeah, this is we watched Escape Plan 3, The Extractors.
We did.
Still haven't watched the first one.
No, we haven't. And I got confused because when I was watching this, I was like, so wait, what happens in Escape Plan 1? Because I thought we'd watch that one and not no. the third, which made no sense. Well, I was like, what?
It was so funny watching it, though, because I remember when we were doing Escape Plan 3, a big notable part of it is that they like kind of ignore 2.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's a whole bunch of new people that are introduced in this one, all of his proteges, and none of them come back.
Yeah. So wait, the third one, when did that come out?
The third one came out in 2019. So,
okay.
But let's just get into key details right
okay.
away, right?
All right. Tell me.
So this came out in 2018.
Yeah.
Escape Plan 3 came out in 2019.
Yeah.
They were sort of making them, not quite back-to-back, but, like, the turnaround on these is short.
When did the first one come out?
2013.
What the fuck?
This is, like, 5 years
later.
There
was a big gap between this and, like, the first one and the second one.
Yeah.
So the first one, what's the first one roughly about? I need a refresher.
First one, 2013. Oh, that's right. It's also the first film to pair up Stallone and Schwarzenegger as co-leads.
Oh.
He was in the first one.
And then Schwarzenegger had the right idea of just bouncing out.
Just bouncing out, okay. Yeah. Ray Breslin is a lawyer turned prison security tester who is incarcerated in the world's most secret and secure prison, which is called the Tomb, and recruits fellow inmate portrayed by Schwarzenegger to stage a breakout. So that's, yeah, it's exactly this, like, plot premise of what you'd expect from this. You
okay.
know? And then, yeah, 5 years later, they were like, we're going to make 2 more, I guess.
This one was fucking crazy. And to be fair, for a film that is obviously marketed as, like, we've got Sylvester Stallone, he wasn't in it for a lot of it.
He is in it for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
That is somewhat in my trivia. But, yeah, he is in it for fuck all. Like,
yeah.
He's mostly in it through voiceover.
Yeah, and he comes into it in the end to rescue them all and to be like, actually, I knew the plan the whole time. But anyway, you were telling me key details.
Yes, yeah. So the director of this is a guy called Stephen C. Miller. This is not his first movie. He was someone who came up, he made, his feature film debut was Automaton Transfusion, which was a horror movie and became a cult classic and stuff. And then he did the remake of Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Yeah.
And then he shifted from horror to action and made, I kept his page up because I think it's so funny how, like, generic action movie all of his movies are. He made Extraction, Submerged, Marauders, Arsenal, First Kill, Escape Plan 2, Hades, and Line of Duty.
This is my filmography. It's oozing masculinity.
None of them have above 50% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow, so. What a career.
Yeah.
Look, I can't be that snobby. He's probably got a great house in fucking Malibu, so who am I to judge?
They still let him make him.
Yeah.
The movie starring Sylvester Stallone, Dave Bautista.
Which, have we had him on the list before?
We haven't. I looked up to double check.
Because I thought we had.
I think he might have been when we've watched, like, the peripheral movies of things.
Weird.
But I don't, he hasn't, as far as I could tell, he has not been on the
list.
That's
so weird. I mean, like, maybe I'm just thinking of anything, because he pops up in a lot. He was in Glass Onion, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of, and I just watched it recently. I don't know.
You're thinking of Glass Onion?
Yeah, terrible film.
It's also got Curtis 50 Cent Jackson and Huang Xiaoming.
Yeah.
Budget, $20 million. Box office, $17.6.
That's shit.
Made apparently like 4.5 on home media and stuff.
That's
which
terrible.
Was also confusing, though, because this movie is described as directed video and just straight to DVD.
Oh, weird.
Oh, it received theatrical releases in some countries like Russia and stuff. That's right. Okay, so there we go.
But it didn't get a theatrical release in America?
No, it didn't. No, it was straight to DVD in America.
What?
Yuck, ew.
But in theaters in Russia.
But in theaters in Russia, yeah. I love, it's just literally phrased as in some countries such as Russia. And I'm like, is it more than just Russia? Oh, no, in such countries as Russia, which is even funnier. The returning actors, though, you got Jesse Metcalf, who is in God's Not Dead 2.
Was he?
Yeah, he played, was it Luke Graves?
Dude, that was like 3 years ago. That's crazy.
Oh, wait. Sorry, I'm a dumbass. Dave Bautista, we have seen him, because Bautista, Jamie King, Curtis Jackson, and Lydia Hull were all in Escape Plan 3.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So we have seen him before. And of course, Sylvester Stallone, as we mentioned, we've seen him before in Escape Plan 3, Stop or Run Will Shoot, Spy Kids 3, Game Over, and Driven, meaning he is now tied with Andrew Ellie as fucking top with 5 full appearances.
Sly.
And Andrew Ellie was like a real surprise from the back. So, you know, I feel like Sylvester's the real king of this.
Yeah, we've got the king versus the underdog, you know? So it's interesting.
I mean, look, if it remains Andrew Early, I wonder if he's available. I wonder if he'll be willing to do a podcast.
Oh, no, I was thinking we'd get Sly in.
Yeah, for sure.
He's a really
free
man.
He'll want to talk about his bad movies.
For sure, for sure.
Here's the full overview. Now, it's a little long, but it's also because it's one of those ones where there's moments where I'm like, I need your help.
Okay.
Years after the first film, Ray Breslin's security company has expanded with new members Shu Rand, Jasper Kimbrell, and Luke Graves joining Ray, Hush, and Abigail. However, during a hostage rescue in Chechnya, Kimbrell decides to trust in his algorithms rather than his team.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he does like a calculation.
Yeah.
And he deviates from what they were meant to do and then...
Yeah. It's only ever... I don't think anyone involved in this movie knows what an algorithm is.
Also, I don't think anyone involved in this movie knows what happened really in that first scene. No. That first scene was so hectic. It was
very
bananas.
Confusing.
I could barely follow.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone knows what the fuck an algorithm is, and there's no point in which they clarify, but they say it a lot. So he trusts in his algorithms rather than his team, and in the process gets a hostage killed. Breslin fires Kimbrell and encourages Shu to take some time off to learn how to work as a team. Sorry, that's just so pleasant irony. A year later, Shu is attempting to protect his cousin, Yu Sheng, who has a new satellite technology. However, the two are kidnapped and find themselves imprisoned in a highly secure and technologically advanced prison called Hades, alongside their former teammate, Kimbrell. I don't know what's going on. I can't pronounce words today. This is turning my mind. Kimbrell.
Hades.
They learn that the warden wants Yu Sheng's satellite technology, but he refuses to give it as it can be used to hack into literally any computer system in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Don't see why you've got an issue with that one.
Sorry. No, you're right. You're right. You're right. That makes perfect sense. Drawing on his training, Shu befriends the cook and discovers the prison layout changes every night, but that a group of Icelandic hackers may be able to help. However, before he can do so, Kimbrell reveals that he, in fact, runs the prison, ordering the head of the Icelanders to be executed and that his prison is inescapable because of its algorithms.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I just want to make sure
algorithms,
I'm still...
Algorithms, babe.
I just want to make sure I'm still describing the movie and it's not that I didn't get it.
There's this bit where 50 Cent is also talking about how he has to hack into the system and how like the protocol won't let him do so and so. It's all nonsense words.
It's all nonsense
words. It's all about the feelings.
I mean, though. I haven't even mentioned the robot. Breslin and old colleague DeRosa, that's Bautista, have been following the trail from the outside, but Breslin gets captured and put inside Hades. However, he quickly reveals that he did this intentionally or knew that it was coming to establish a connection between the inside and outside teams. He has like a radio in his tooth.
Yeah.
That it sounds like Hush put in there.
Yeah.
Even though he doesn't know how to do dentistry.
Just got a drill. Yeah. Went straight into it.
They make a new plan to escape the prison. First by Hush hacking and disabling the robot master Galileo.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why you're laughing at this, Michelle. It's actually a very serious and cool movie.
Sorry, my bad. I don't mean to offend. With the team traveling through the prison to find the control systems in the med bay, they successfully overload the solar power, which blasts air out of the sewers in central Atlanta, where DeRosa had a hunch that the entrance was. So they find the entrance because of this, because he was already there.
Yeah. You're doing great, sweetie.
While Breslin hunts down Kimbrell and kills him, Shu and Yu Sheng are then extracted, with Breslin contacting the mysterious group behind Hades, who, by the way, we see as like a hologram video thing with a like full voice changer, but 100% you just see their face.
Mm.
Which is very confusing to me to bother with the voice changer when you have their full face.
Yeah.
Anyway, contacting the mysterious group behind Hades, vowing to track them down and expose them. Which, of course, we know he completely then drops and ignores before Escape Plan 3.
Yeah.
That's this movie.
Yeah. No, you did an excellent job for what is one of the most confusing and convoluted things I've ever watched. I mean, there's this bit at the end where, like, 50 Cent... the hacker back at like the home base, he just like basically just lists off a bunch of like IT jargon.
Yeah.
And is like, that's why we can't do it from here and why we've got a serious issue. And you as a viewer have to go, okay.
Sure. Okay.
I believe it.
I think one of the big faults of this movie is that Kimbrel and Luke look functionally identical.
I was about to bring that up first, but I was like, maybe I should wait. Maybe no. Maybe I should talk about 50 Cent. But no, let's talk about it.
It's the first note I have.
Oh, same. Because in the opening sequence, what I didn't get, I was like, Wait, are they twins? And is that going to be? Okay. So, I'm so glad you brought this up. Luke and Kimbrel look identical. And in the opening scene, there's this whole thing where Kimbrel, you think he's working for the other side, but then it turns out that he's actually with them and that he's double-crossed that team because he's actually working with them. And then for a second, I was like, is he twins with Luke and is that why they're working together? Is he like his brother? But it turns out they're just two white guys that look identical.
Two white guys with the same beard and haircut.
There's so many scenes where I was like, which one is it? Yeah. Who are we looking at now?
It is a little confusing.
It's very confusing.
It is a little confusing. And then the first one where he's a Chechenian terrorist, where he fully joined the Chechenian terrorists.
Yeah.
It's very confusing to discern. And then he gets fired and he's wearing like a Hawaiian shirt. It's very funny to me. Yeah. It's like the second scene of the movie is Kimbrel getting fired in a Hawaiian shirt.
I will say, I actually really liked Shu as the protagonist. Because it wasn't Sylvester Stallone who was the protagonist. It was Shu, who is this guy that he's pulled into his security business, who gets trapped in the prison for the longest. And Shu is there with his cousin. Was it Yusheng?
Yusheng, yeah.
And Yusheng and him have like a really, I kind of liked the back and forth between them. And
it's one of the better parts of the movie,
for sure. I thought he was quite charismatic. And I was like, well, it's nice that it's not just a fucking another Luke that's the protagonist, you know? It could have been, but it wasn't.
It could have so easily been Luke. But Huang Xiaoming is quite a noted Chinese actor.
Is he?
Well, he at the very least is in like a ton of stuff.
Holy shit.
Yeah. As you can tell, like an action movie guy.
He's sick. He's got really cool vibes.
He has got cool vibes. Yeah. Like, I get it. He feels like, you know, Sly decades ago had cool vibes, but he's phoning it in and like, Huang Xiaoming hasn't given it up yet.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
He's still giving it for this.
She thought that was kind of smart, and that like Sylvester can still carry, Sly can still carry the franchise, but the film was handed down to someone a bit more young and interesting to watch than Sly. But so I liked him, and I liked watching him in the prison, and I liked the way that, again, like he was. I can't believe I'm really trying to pull out what I did enjoy about this film.
But
I liked the way that he was really clever and I don't have anything.
That's okay, because you know
I don't.
You know what I didn't get to go into in the overview, but we have to talk about?
Sure.
Is the prison itself. Because we see it. If you told me this movie was set in 2100, I would fully believe you.
Yeah.
It's more futuristic than anything we saw last week in Singularity.
Yes, and the zoo where they're all meant to fight each other.
He drops in. He's fully like in cyberspace.
Yeah.
There's like force field as walls everywhere in this prison. It's like, insane.
Yeah,
we don't have that technology.
I did like the zoo component. I thought that was kind of sad.
Yeah.
Just the idea that like people have to fight each other in the prison. Yeah, and I was like, why don't they all just say no?
We haven't told the audience, but he gets dropped in, he's in cyberspace, and then he gets like put into what's called the zoo, and it's basically like prison fight club where two of them just get told to fight each other.
Also, the thing is, if this is like, if they, at the end they speculate that it's under Atlanta, and it is, but does that mean that, like, does Atlanta know it's there?
Yeah,
is it illegal as a prison? Like, are people being kept there not under government regulation?
How could possibly the government of Atlanta not know that that's there? It would have to be enormous. It has to be enormous,
and
right?
Then, if they don't know it's there, well, if they do know it's there, are they not appalled by the conditions there? Do they have anyone that comes and checks it out and they're like, well, everything looks above board. You've got the zoo, you've got the sanctuary, you've got the force field.
They refer to it as a black site prison, which like, you know, I can imagine, a government might do like illegal things, but that's why you would put it in like the middle of nowhere, not in Atlanta. It's got to be like private equity. They must be like, this is just our bunker here at Rushco.
Yeah. Oh,
we just, don't worry, we just have a cool bunker and it's actually like a fucking prison from 2168.
I've got to bring up as well the Icelandic hackers, where they look over and they're three large bald men.
Well,
they're like
painted men white instead of just getting very white men.
They did, and then they put like hot, like really bad under eye bags on. But anyway, they're like, oh, neo-Nazis? And they're like, no, coders, computers.
No, computer nerds.
Computer nerds. And they're like, they lived in a basement in Iceland. And then when they talk, they're just fully American.
Yeah, they don't have any trace of an accent at all.
They didn't bother. They put like this weird ashy shit in their eyebrows to make them look lighter. Well, and I was like, just bleach them.
It's almost like they're implying they have like alopecia, or that they're, what's the word?
Albino.
They're albino, but no, it's just weird makeup.
And it's like, why wouldn't you just bleach the eyebrows?
They constantly say, we are Legion, but they don't go like, we are Legion. They go, we are Legion. And you're like, oh, whoa, you're from Iceland?
That's hilarious. Computer nerds.
You know what they could have used?
Nazis, worse.
computer nerds.
That's how I feel about it anyway.
Whoa. Is it the Britta meme from Community? Like, I can excuse racism, but I draw the line at computer nerds.
You can excuse racism? Oh my God, tag yourself. You're the computer nerd. I'm the Nazi. High five.
Whoa, no. I'm not high-fiving anything that is, you're the Nazi. You're not a Nazi.
Thanks.
We're not putting that to air. If you think you're the Nazi, this podcast is over. We're ending it.
I think I'm the Nazi.
Oh my God. I guess
explains why I'm so blonde.
I guess if we have to be assigned, I'm not playing this game.
That's what I'm saying. If one's going to be one and the other's going
to
be the
other. I'm not playing this game.
I have to default to Nazi.
I want to talk about the satellite, the fucking satellite that can hack anything. That's the craziest thing.
Hi, I'm giving you your corner.
Actually, you know what? You know what I want to talk about is two things. One to do with the technology and one to do with the dialogue. Because, you know, we say, hey, there's this technology everywhere. There's force field walls like in fucking Mass Effect or whatever. There's also at one point he starts like a little mini riot thing thinking it'll be a whole plan, and then a mega laser comes out and zaps everyone in the room. It's crazy. That's insane. He has a big giant like electricity laser. What the fuck is going on?
We've all got a giant electricity laser for a rainy day, just bring it out in a moment of strife.
But the intellect that this movie is operating on is, I have two pieces of dialogue written down that I want to read to you right now.
Okay, please.
One is earlier where he's talking to Kimbrel. Shu is talking to Kimbrel. He's learning about the prison. And Kimbrel is like, what's it called? And he's like, Hades. Greek mythology? The land of the dead. Like, that's what they have to explain the full every aspect of this metaphor.
Yeah, every single time.
It's just, because then it cuts to fucking Sly doing the same thing. Mm. It's so tedious.
I also love, like, at the end when he has to fully break down the plan as well. He's like, see, the thing is, I knew you. I knew you'd come for me, but you didn't think about Hades' biggest weakness. You. I could almost like...
Fuck, got him.
I was like, I could preempt every line of that dialogue.
Well, I mean, because again, in the same sort of pseudo-intellectual, this means nothing, there's also a line that Abigail says to Hush at one point of, the single most important thing to remember when solving the hardest riddles is that they're trying to trick you. It's a riddle! Yeah.
Also, what was the point of Abigail? The two female characters in this film.
Point? No, that's not what women are for.
Clearly. They just like stayed at home base doing very little and kind of like circling
around. That's what women do. They putter about. Women don't do anything.
Oh, yeah. And then the other woman at the beginning also died.
Yeah.
She was the one that got shot.
Woman too.
Why do they have women on their teams if they're not getting like pulled into the missions?
Well, who's going to die to make the men sad?
Who's going to take the phone call?
Who's going to take the phone call and die and make men sad?
Yeah, and make the coffee.
Come on. Abby, you're not using your head.
No. Don't you find it a bit odd that there's a character called Abigail and a character called Breslin? Did that not throw you a couple times?
I did. I kept thinking, like, is she his daughter or something? And then I was like, oh, I'm just thinking of Abigail Breslin.
Yeah.
But I swear they are related.
Yeah.
The characters. But maybe they're not.
Spencer as a character, you know? We got heaps.
There is not.
No, there isn't. Wasn't.
You're just doing a silly little bit, aren't you?
I am.
No, she's Abigail Ross. She's not Abigail Breslin.
Right.
It's a shame.
Jamie King, the girl who plays her, she's not... that's not the woman from My Name is Earl, right?
No.
What's her name? Jamie Priestley. That's her name.
Yeah.
That's who I keep confusing her with.
I can't believe we've talked about the cast this much and we haven't talked about Pete Wentz being in this.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he played Bug.
What?
You know when Dave Bautista, he like shoots all the guys in the bar and then he goes to somewhere else and then he's like, I need Bug.
Yeah.
And the hotel guy is unhelpful. And then he goes up and he finds Bug... the hacker guy who has a lot of guns, which seems that he's mostly just getting guns from him.
Yeah.
That's Pete Wentz. What bassist of Fall Out Boy.
Fuck off.
Bassist and lyricist of Fall Out Boy. Yeah.
Remember that era where he was dating... oh, God, what's her
name? I don't remember any eras of Pete Wentz's personal life.
Really? Because he was dating Ashley Simpson.
What?
The sister of Jessica Simpson.
Yeah.
And she did that song like, oh, it seems like you can finally bet my head on something real.
I assume she didn't sing it quite like that, right?
Yeah, probably not. But she had a real moment. He and her were like the big like pop punk like prince and princess at the time. That's crazy.
Wow, yeah.
Pete Wentz.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's not in many movies.
No.
It's he didn't have it. It didn't expand that far out of Escape Plan 2.
Yeah.
I think I had it up before. It's only like two other movies or... Wait, he has a film production company? What the fuck?
What is he making?
He was in a multi-episode arc of One Tree Hill.
Dude, he's a very talented man. That
Sorry,
Peter Wentz.
Yeah, I didn't mean to besmirch the name of Wentz.
Well, you did.
Sorry. I know that Pete Wentz, but where did he go?
It's a sensitive topic for me. I was never a Fall Out Boy person. I'll just be honest. I'll get that out there. I never had a phase with it.
It's one of the pop punk groups that I know more of because I grew up with like teenage boys around and they really liked Fall Out Boy.
Yeah. Like I had it on my iPod. But I didn't
you didn't,
like
you
it.
Didn't like it?
I didn't. Not
I think
at the time.
I think I had the same thing going on for a bit because then
I didn't get
then
it.
Then if it comes up on the shuffle, I look cool.
Yeah.
You know?
I wanted to be in on it. I wanted to understand, but
you know
I just couldn't.
How people do the thing where like you put one of the earbuds in your ear and then the other beer and then you listen together.
Yeah.
That always looks so cool. I can't wait to be one.
I did that to Claude the other night. I did that to Claude the other night with like my AirPods and I was like, oh my god, it's like we're like dating and we're like 13 on the school bus.
Oh my god. That's like yeah. And were you listening to Fall Out Boy?
We were, yeah.
Oh my god. I can't okay, so wait, we gotta talk about with the ending. So he's No. In that same bit, talking about the AirPods, that reminds me of the fucking bit because he gets shown all the weapons and then there's like this big like, you know, camera tracking in a little bit and it goes to like the side of him and he puts this like AirPod in and he starts like nodding at it and it feel like it's priming us for like a needle drop and then it just cuts to the next scene and it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even like build up to it musically. I feel like there was a needle drop and they couldn't get a song, right?
Probably.
Like, and then they just cut the scene.
Probably. Wait, what was the budget for this? Did you tell
20
me?
Million.
20 million. It's not that big.
Which, yeah. No, these days, it's not that big. You know? I mean, for an Australian movie, it's fucking enormous.
Big. Yeah.
You know? Like, one of our biggest movies is like $10 million.
I guess I just expect anything with Sylvester Stallone in it to have a pretty high budget.
In 2017?
Yeah, take it back.
In 2018? Sorry, I'm just looking over my notes and I keep seeing these fucking bits that I wrote down because they were insane. And one of them is another Dave Bautista bit. You know how I said earlier he like shoots up the bar?
Yeah.
Well, this movie is insane and just wants to do cool shit. So there's a bit, he's in the bar, he's shooting up masked guys who are trying to kill the Rushco executive. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything. And then guys start running at him down a hallway, but it's a really narrow hallway and he's standing at it with one at one end with a gun. And so he just like fires consecutively and guys just keep dropping. It's like six guys in a row.
He doesn't have to do much.
Who do nothing but just rush at him.
Yeah.
It's just such a weird thing for them to do.
It's a silly bit.
I guess, do you want to do some trivia?
I do.
I don't actually have a huge amount of trivia because it was hard to find like production information about this, but I do have some. Sylvester Stallone said the following about the film while he was promoting Escape Plan 3 on his social media. Escape Plan 2 was truly the most horribly produced film I have ever had the misfortune of being in.
Wow. I'm actually shocked he's aware. I don't know why.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but it's also so funny to do that while promoting the next one.
Mm.
That one was terrible. I really hated it. It's We're doing another one.
Highlander vibes of like trying to absolutely like just cancel the second film.
Yeah. Despite being top billed, I kind of said this before, Sylvester Stallone is only in the movie for approximately 15 minutes.
Yeah.
He is not the lead character of this movie. It is Shoe. Stephen C. Miller, the director, was fired midway through post-production. I couldn't find any other information about that.
What? Wait,
not
so who
a single
finished
thing.
Off the film?
Stallone?
What the fuck?
No idea. Maybe it's not even true. Couldn't find anything else about it, but it was there in the IMDb trivia.
That's crazy.
And so, by the good graces of this podcast, I felt empowered to put it in here.
That's nutty.
That's nutty. It must be a professor. It's so fucking nutty. Must be me on the weekend. It's so nutty.
Michelle, no. We've done really well at not devolving into talking about nutting and coming and jizzing and jerking and enough.
I'm gonna jut. That's jizzing and nutting.
I know. Yes. We've had jarfing. We've had jutting. We've had enough.
I'm gonna jit. Here's the last.
I'm gonna jit.
You know, Stephen Malkmus, the frontman of Pavement? One of my favorite bands, Pavement, after Pavement broke up, he wanted to have a band that I think is hilarious because I think the name of it really shows part of why they probably broke up, in that it's called Stephen Malkmus and the Jicks. And I both think it's really funny that he's like, oh, no more Pavement? This one has my name in it. Yeah. It's all about Malkmus.
That makes sense.
And also, hey, he's on it with the Jicks.
The Jicks?
That's the Jizzing Hicks, I guess.
I hate it.
Here's my last piece of trivia. Mm-hmm. After my Pavement trivia, part of the plot revolves forcing someone to reveal a patent. So the whole thing with the satellite technology is he has a patent on it. Part of the plot revolves around forcing someone to reveal a patent as if it was a secret. Patents are not secret. The point being to make something public to secure protection for commercial use. And this person's right. You can publicly search patents. That's the whole point. If something was supposed to be kept secret, then it would be called a secret.
Ooh, burn.
So this whole movie revolves around publicly available patent information being a secret for a satellite that can hack into any technology.
I'm just really impressed that you figured out what this film was about, what it circled around.
Algorithms. Wow. It's about algorithms and how algorithms are better than people.
Yes.
Why would I trust a person when I could trust an algorithm? Hey, do you want to hear some reviews?
Yes.
Yes! This movie has 8% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow, that's really low.
It's really low. It's got 3.8 on IMDb. Oh, also, notably, MR also said in their initial email at the top of the episode, P.S., when this was sent, I know it's still a month away, but I can't wait for Escape Plan 2, Hades. I hate that movie. That was bolded, so italicized, and underlined.
You're right.
So there's the review from MR. David Ehrlich of IndieWire said, Hades might boast some decent star power, but there isn't a celebrity in the world who could save this bargain bin nonsense from feeling like a bootlegged rip-off of its own franchise. Not even Arnold Schwarzenegger, who faced off against Stallone in the first one, could have rescued this from abject boredom. Which I thought was pretty brutal.
Yeah.
Here's an IMDb review titled, Old School Feeling, Best Movie in Many Years by 57NP. I don't know what that means, and I feel like it's a dog whistle, and I don't want to find out what for.
Mm.
If you like sissy movies with your typical inclusive and politically correct crap, then you'll hate this. This movie is for any man and some women who sounds pretty woke to me, who likes old school action. Yeah, the effects might not be the best, but who cares? Only soy boys care about that stuff in a movie. The plot is nice, and it gives you that 80s sci-fi as well. 10 out of 10.
Whoa.
10 out of 10.
How have we not encountered a review so far that's used the term soy boy? I'm actually shocked.
I know what you mean.
I'm actually really shocked by that.
There hasn't been more, soy boy reviews.
Why haven't we, run into more fucking incels?
I guess that the peak of soy boy is not the peak of IMDb,
It's not. Yeah. I didn't really know what a soy boy was until Claude had to explain it to me the other week.
Really?
Yeah, I just didn't come across it. I wasn't in the dark depths of the internet, I guess.
What I hate about it in typical Michelle fashion is not just that obviously it's stupid, but also that it's based off of the idea that soy has a lot of estrogen, but it has phytoestrogen and plant estrogen. The human body can't process that the way it does hormonal, meat estrogen.
There you go.
You can drink as much fucking soy as you want. It's not going to feminize you. You're not going to become a femboy soy boy, all right? I'm a soy boy.
Do you know what people call the soy boy face?
No.
There's this kind of rude thing on the internet where a lot of men that post for photos tend to do that fake thing.
Okay, yeah. For clarity, she's doing a very specific sort of smile with eyes wide open
and looking kind of shocked. Mouth wide open.
I feel like it's a counterpart to the also dude classic of the sort of just scrunching the corner of your mouth up a little bit as if you're doing kind of face.
And to be honest, once someone points it out, you do notice that a lot of men do it. But hey, I understand. Yeah. I think people do it because they feel awkward taking a selfie, so they're just you know? And that's the soy boy face. And there's this coffee shop that opened near me and Claude up the road called Old Mates. Mm. And they have this little cartoon photo of like a boy going, and someone left a Google review being like, my favorite place for a soy boy coffee. And everyone's like claiming it's a soy boy face. And we're like, whoa.
Incredible. Anyway. I mean, look, if you think you could feminize yourself from soy, that I wouldn't be all over that fucking shit. Right? I wish I could be.
Drink a soy mocha.
I wish I could be a soy boy. Oh my God, is this the secret?
Oh my God. Oh, or is it what's holding you back? You could get even more estrogen.
I could get even more woman if I stopped drinking my soy.
Yeah.
Here's another IMDb review titled Future Cult Classic by Kogyoya.
Whoa.
Kogyoya. Kogyoya.
Whoa.
Dude, it's a lot of vowels in a row. If you don't like this movie, then you're probably chick or a soy boy.
You're kidding me. Second soy boy. Did you know that whole time?
Yes. Awesome mix of old and new styles. Action, give me an adrenaline rush. Stallone has still got it. Again, don't watch this movie if you're into lame superhero movies with nothing but CGI or chick flicks. 10 out of 10.
Oh my God. I can't believe we've had two soy boy reviews. I'm actually like, I got shivers.
I was so desperately hoping there'd be a third one, but there was not. It's Damn. Just two people who hate inclusive chicks and soy boys.
It's like the Blair Witch reviews where all three of them had like, and Kim Diamond's beautiful eyes.
Kim Director. Here's my last review. Ignore bad reviews by Neural Nadia. Neural Nadia. Neural Nadia. I'm assuming that might be someone's full name, and it's just in a language I'm not familiar with the phonemes. Here's the review. Came back from Escape Plan, and I liked it. If you think this is a simple film with the usual script, as in guy in jail, struggles to escape, then escapes, think again. Starts straight in action.
It is that.
And has many twists and new plots and ideas. 10 out of 10.
It is that. The dude's shocked by the idea of like obstacles in a film.
If you think it's going to be that usual script, you know, everyone's the classic guy in jail, tries to escape, then escapes. It's not that. That is this, but
that's crazy.
So what was your soy boy cuckold inclusive politically correct review of this?
Being the soy boy that I
am. Of this man movie.
I had a pretty fun time with this bonkers film. Like I hated it. Don't get me wrong, I hated it. But it really made the 90 minutes fly.
We're doing like a batch record, listeners, and this is sandwiched in the middle of it, both our recording and our watching. I gotta say, so this was like a reprieve.
It was. It really rescued today's recording.
There's no way I would have anything close to a smile on my face without this.
I enjoy every time Sylvester Stallone appears. I liked some of the jail features because I thought they were kind of cool and silly. It was very camp, but it moved quite quickly. Camp. Like a lot happened.
Yeah.
Like a lot. Too much, one would say. And I liked Shu as a protagonist.
Yeah.
So for that reason, it's probably going to get like a 4.2 out of 10.
Wow.
What about you?
To describe this movie, especially in the way that you said is camp, like the way that this is camp is, to borrow one of my favorite analogies I've heard, like if hyper like toxic masculinity is also about like repressing all of these like feminine things. And when you get like glam rock and action movies, that is the same as what happens when you put your thumb on a hose and it ends up spraying everywhere. You create something so camp and so and homoerotic.
That's what I mean. Like I'm saying camp as in like it is so hyper mask, it becomes camp.
Yeah.
That is to me now the definition of camp.
Yeah. It's kind of gayer than I am in that way, you know?
It's just dudes loving dudes.
But it's also a baffling and incomprehensible movie. I did have kind of a fun time, but I don't know if I can quite bring myself for a 4. So I'm going to give it a 3.8. I think IMDb nailed it. I think 3.8 was right. Guys, you got it right this time.
You got it right.
But, you know, that's our opinions. And you know where else we share, like, opinions and stuff is on social media. You can find us on X at Rate Descend Pod.
It's painful.
You can find us on TikTok at Rating Descending, or you can email us at ratingdescending@gmail.com. We, of course, love the emails.
Or you can find us on our personal accounts. I'm on Instagram under Abigail J. Ward.
And I'm on X. or maybe I should say it hornier. X. And Instagram at michelle.stclair.
And please, pretty please, drop us a review wherever you get your podcasts. It really makes a difference.
Well, Abigail, well, that's right. I'm not doing the New York voice. You know, I've been doing it successfully. Well, Abigail, what we watching next week?
Next week, we're watching The Canyons.
Hey! That's got Lindsay Lohan, right?
Yeah.
Keen to find out what that's about. Yeah. What's going on there?
Look at us pretending like we haven't already watched it.
Yeah, I've already watched it. Guys,
I've already watched it.
Guys, be prepared to hear some misery.
The jig is up, all right?
The jig is up. Sometimes we've already watched more than one movie in a row.
Don't tell them. It's a secret.
It's a secret.
Well, join us next week, and we can all together find out what the film will be like.
What's this movie about, huh?
Soya.
So, did you say Soya?